Our scripture reading, we begin it, the last verses of John chapter 11. Read, start at verse 55, read just the last three verses of chapter 11, and then go through verse 33 of chapter 12. The text consists of verses 12 through 19, which I will not reread. We start at John 11, verse 55. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, "What think ye, that he will not come to the feast?" Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. And Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment and of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always." Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt." These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after it." There were certain Greeks among them that came up to the worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. So far we read from God's holy word. Dearly beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the day that we read of here is the first day of what is often referred to as Passion Week. The word passion refers to suffering. So Passion Week means the week of Christ's suffering. Although it's quite important that we understand that Christ suffered his whole life. It wasn't just in this last week. It really was the case that he suffered his whole life long. He bore our guilt his whole life long. And he suffered. His life was a life of suffering. As he bore our guilt, and as he suffered in our place. This week, first day of this week, Jesus, as he rode into Jerusalem on a colt, was receiving the praise that would come to the Messiah. And there's significance to that. We read in the past there were times when Jesus told people not to make him known. And there were times when people didn't listen to him when he said that. And they would instead go abroad and tell everybody what Jesus had done. But now, as Jesus is coming to the time when he is going to be lifted up, he receives the praise that comes to the Messiah, where others were wondering why he doesn't silence them. But he receives that praise. He receives the praise of many people that come out to him. Come out to him with palm branches. Come out to him putting the robes on an animal, a colt. And as he comes, and as he receives this praise, we see how the enemies responded. Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. They were determined to put him to death. We're told that even Pontius Pilate recognized that they were envious. He realized that the Jewish leaders were envious. He repeatedly said Jesus had not done anything wrong. He could tell why they had delivered him. From that point of view, he knew why they had delivered him unto him. But as Jesus came and was receiving this praise, we see the response that it had upon those that despised him, those that hated him and wanted him dead, and would soon be stirring the people up to crucify him. But tonight we look specifically, or this afternoon, we look specifically at why Jesus came the way he did. We take note, first of all, that he came to Jerusalem in the first place. There was question as to whether he was going to come. We read of that. We read the last verses of chapter 11 where we read that there were those that were wondering, what do you think? Do you think he'll come to the feast? The chief priests and Pharisees had given a commandment. If anybody knows where he is, they're to let us know that we can take him. And then the people are talking, what do you think? Do you think he's going to come to the feast? And here he comes to Jerusalem. We consider the significance of that, that he comes to Jerusalem. Secondly, we take note of the fact that he comes riding on a colt. We take note of the fact that he does that, and what the Old Testament said about that. And in that connection, too, we take note of the fact that they did not realize they were doing what they were doing was something that the Scriptures had said. That's interesting that it specifically says, sometimes questions are asked about that. Did they know when this happened or when that happened, just as the Scriptures said? Did they know that this was something that the Scriptures had said would happen? Well, here we have an example of something that the Scriptures had said were going to take place, and we read that they did not understand when they were doing it. But they understood later. And in the third place, we take note that the time they understood was when Jesus was glorified. There was a reference to the fact that this Jesus, who was riding on a colt, would be glorified. When Jesus was glorified, it doesn't just say later they remembered, but it specifies when. When Jesus was glorified, then remembered they these things, that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. So we consider this passage under the theme, the king on a colt. We consider, first of all, coming to Jerusalem. Secondly, riding on a colt. And thirdly, glorified by God. The king on a colt. First of all, we take note of the time. The time was the time of the Passover. It is interesting that at the time of the Passover, before the Passover took place, there was a time period where they would set aside a lamb. Before they would sacrifice that lamb, they were to set aside that lamb. And then later would come the Passover, the time to slaughter the Passover lamb. So also here, this is a time where the lamb is being set before their eyes. And we read that there were a lot of people that came out to meet him. And this passage, the passage in John, serves to explain some of the details of why so many came out to meet him. And it connects this event with the event of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. It says that there were people that came. It says in verse 9, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Here Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, and news had spread about the fact that there was a man that was dead for 4 days, and Jesus came and spoke and raised him from the dead. As you might well imagine. I mean, we know this event happened, but you think about somebody that we know that's been dead for 4 days, and then you hear there's a man that came and spoke at his grave, and out he came, alive. And you can go see him. Many people wanted to go see him, to see the man that had been dead. And now he was alive again. That miracle attracted a lot of attention. So much so that we read that the chief priests had consulted that they might put Lazarus to death too. It says, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. So this happened right before the crucifixion. That there were many people that had heard about this, and they were believing on Jesus. And when news comes out that, when news is told that he's coming, many were to meet him. Many desired to come and meet him. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they came out to meet him. And they took their robes. It's quite something. They took their robes and they took branches of palm trees. Some of the narratives make known that they took branches of trees. This specific passage says they specifically make specific reference to palm trees. They took branches of palm trees. And we know that they put their robes on the colt, and Jesus sat on them, and they put the branches in front of the colt along with their robes, so that as Jesus is riding on the colt, there are people that are going in front and taking their outer robes off, and they're laying them down, and others are taking palm branches and laying them down as he rides on the animal going into Jerusalem. And they're praising him. They're praising him for his works, we're told. It says, they rejoiced and praised God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. And they said, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. That's a parallel passage in Luke. They were praising God for these mighty works they had seen. And they were calling him the King. And that's illustrated, too, by the fact that they put their robes in front, showing submission. They're saying, this is the King. The King is coming. They're going to take their robes off and put it on top so that he can sit on them. They're saying, this is the King. The King is coming. And they are rejoicing as they praise him for his works. And when we think of palm trees, you wonder why did they bring specifically palm trees? There are different references to palm trees, a couple of them. In Psalm 92, verse 12, we read, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. The righteous are going to flourish like the palm tree. And we read in connection with the Feast of Tabernacles that God said, and ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. Now that was in connection with a different feast, but nevertheless we see in connection with this other feast that they were to take these goodly trees, and specifically mention is made of palm trees, and rejoicing before the Lord. And here they are taking these palm trees, and they are rejoicing and praising God for his wondrous works. And they are calling Jesus the King. Of course, that's very much connected to what they're going to give as a reason for why Jesus should be crucified. They're actually calling him the King. Blessed is the King of Israel. That's what they're calling him. And Jesus does not silence them. We read in that parallel passage that some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. So there were Pharisees among that multitude that said, rebuke your disciples. You hear what they're calling you? And that's how he responds. If they hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. He receives the praise of the Messiah, which points to the fact that he is the Messiah. They say, Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna to, they say, it says they took these branches of palm trees, went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Now that phrase, that's found in Psalm 118:25, and there it's translated, save now. It comes from the Old Testament. Hosanna means save now. And then when you read the whole verse, you see what they were saying. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Psalm 118, verse 25 and 26. Such is the words that they are singing as they praise God. Desiring prosperity. Save now. Send prosperity now. Blessed is the King. And of course, the disciples are involved in this. They're excited about the thought that Christ is coming, the King. They've recognized him as the Messiah. They've confessed that he is the Messiah. But we know they have a mistaken idea as to what's going to happen. It's quite something to think about, the fact of this excitement. Think of the rejoicing and the excitement, and they don't understand what's about to happen. They do not understand what they very shortly are going to see. For Jesus' disciples, they know he's the Messiah, and they're praising him. They know who he is by the grace of God. God has revealed this to them, and they praise him. But they don't really understand as of yet what he's going to do, how he's going to save them, how he's going to be, the way in which he's going to go, the way of suffering and death, and that then God will exalt him to a heavenly throne. One of the things we see in this history is we see in the way people respond to him coming to Jerusalem and the praise that he receives. One of the things we see is the nature of sinful man. The scriptures often in a story will often set us, we often see this great contrast between some who are rejoicing and praising God for his works and others who are responding in a very different way. And we see the nature of man that when Christ has shown so clearly who he is, when God has worked through him so mightily that it was obvious that he was a man of God, it was obvious that he was a prophet of God, that he had done these mighty works. How could he possibly do them? And people were recognizing and gathering together unto him. And their response was, let's kill him. And Lazarus, let's kill him too. Because many people, because of him, are believing on Jesus. Let's kill the one that has been raised from the dead. On the one hand, you see the folly of man, the sinful nature of man. And you see how they urge one another on when they say, behold, the world has gone after him. See how ye prevail nothing? Look, you've made this command. You said, if anybody knows where he is, you make this command. If anybody knows where he is, you show it to us that we might take him. We make this command, and all these people are going out to him. And they're praising him, and they're calling him the king. We're not getting anywhere. And they urge themselves on. They're going to do more. They're quickly going to start stirring up the people to put him to death. But then we also take note in this history about the fact that Jesus willingly came to Jerusalem, knowing they were going to want to put him to death. I mean, people asked that question. What do you think? Do you think he's going to come? The disciples themselves were becoming more aware of the fact that people wanted Jesus dead. And when Jesus spoke about going to Lazarus, where Lazarus was, the disciples didn't want to go in that direction. They knew that people wanted to kill him. And you can just imagine what it was like for them to start to recognize as they're following their master and they're delighting to hear his words, but they're recognizing other people aren't receiving him like this. There's many other people that want him dead, and we hear what they're saying. And of course, they were afraid then, and they were going to show soon how they were afraid to be associated with him. They would be after they saw, especially after they saw what would happen to him. Jesus knew what was going to happen. He had said it repeatedly. He had made known ahead of time what was going to happen, how they were going to go to Jerusalem, and how he was going to be crucified. He said specifically not only that they would kill him, but how they would kill him. And he also said on the third day he would rise again. He knew this was coming, and yet he came to Jerusalem anyway. In Luke 9, verse 51, it says, it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He knows what's going to happen. And now he does this miracle, which certainly is going to attract a lot of attention, of raising somebody dead from the dead who's been dead for 4 days. That all these people come out and they praise him, calling him the king, and he receives that praise. That word about his arrival is coming out and is spreading. We read in a parallel passage in Matthew 21, verse 10, it says, "And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved. All the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' And they responded and said," the multitude said, "'This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee.'" So everybody hears about it. Everybody hears the whole city is moved. And he's coming to Jerusalem, knowing about the opposition. He walks right toward Jerusalem, bringing out the idea that Christ was voluntarily going to sacrifice himself. He set his face to go to Jerusalem. He knew this was the Father's will. And he went right toward Jerusalem. And he did this, these acts that are going to bring attention. He's going to receive this praise. The opposition's going to mount. They're going to want to crucify him. He walks right toward Jerusalem. He voluntarily laid down his life. And it's very important that we confess that. Jesus said, "No man takes my life from me." He voluntarily laid it down. He sacrificed himself. He was submissive to the Father's will. And in that connection about him being submissive, that's connected to the idea that he comes riding on this colt. That he came riding on the colt. Some of the other narratives tell us in more detail how he got the colt. And our young children know how he got the colt. For our young children learn this at a very young age. You young children here, you know how Jesus got the colt. You know how he sent the messengers. And he told them ahead of time, "Now when you untie the animals, if anybody asks you, 'Why are you untying the animals?'" He's going to untie a mother donkey and the colt, and its colt. He says, "Now if you're untying the animals and anybody asks, 'Why are you doing that?' say, 'The Lord has need of him.'" The Lord needs them. The Lord, the owner, he's not stealing the animals. He's the Lord. The Lord has need of them. And then he says that they're going to let you have them. And certainly that takes place. There were a number of events that took place around the crucifixion that showed the disciples that Jesus knows what's going to happen in the future. He did that where he told them what's going to happen about the getting of the colt. There was another time right before the crucifixion where he told his disciples what was going to happen right before it did. When they were going to prepare for the Passover. You go in and